Hello, everyone listening. This is a special community Patreon-only podcast. Sort of think of it as like a end-of-the-week podcast. So we actually already filmed it, but by the time this comes out, this is actually going to come out first. And it's going to come out before the actual Return of the Culture Study podcast. Just to catch everyone up real quick, I'm bringing back the Culture Study podcast with a co-host, my friend Quinn. Quinn, you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Yes. Hi, guys. My name's Quinn. I don't even know what to say. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think what to say.
Well, I mean, technically, Quinn already introduced herself. On the Culture Study podcast that we recorded.
Sorry, you delayed too.
That's going to be coming out Monday. And those podcasts are going to be Monday because I kind of wanted people to like have like this start the week off with this type of vibe. And then on Patreon, we'll do like a short form version, like a half hour type thing, to sort of, I guess, talk about any questions people on Patreon might have. Because with the Culture Study podcast, I want to just like kind of free form it, you know, talk about whatever, you know, talk about wherever the conversation takes us, right? But the Patreon one, I want to more so take people's questions and kind of dive a little deep, whether it's talking about recent like current events or just talking or just answering questions, I guess. So I actually put out, I don't know how many of these we can get through, but I got some questions on our Patreon.
Ooh, okay.
So this is from Alexis. They ask, who is your favorite Korean band? Lately, I've been getting into more K bands and wanted to know your suggestions. And I was also wondering if you had listened to any of Wonwee's newest releases. Why don't you start off, Quinn? Who is your favorite Korean band?
I think you know the answer to that, Phoebe, but Day yes. Six. Yes. But yes, I do listen to a lot of other bands like The Rose. I don't remember. I have listened to Wonwee. I can't remember if I listened to like the newest ones, but I know I've checked out like their first few releases. Did they have another one this year? Or I don't remember.
In 2021, I don't know. But I will say, for me personally, yeah, I think, you know, favorite has to be Day Six because they have the most, I think, eclectic discography. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you if you want a little alt rock, you've got a little alt rock. If you want a little modern rock or ballad rock, like, they have a mix of kind of everything. Yeah. Whereas Wonwee has a very specific sound. And then The Rose has a very specific sound. But I would say the Day Six is my favorite, but I would probably say Wonwee at this point is my second.
Yeah.
And it's pretty close behind. I think the only difference being that, like, I actually, like, when it comes to slower stuff, I actually prefer Wonwee slower stuff. Like, their more modern rock stuff. But nobody does, like, the exciting stuff like Day Six.
Yeah.
You know? To this day, nothing will ever kind of blow my mind the way I Wait did. Like,
oh yeah, that was like the first for the Everyday Project too.
Yeah,
right? That was like in January.
It was such a surprise, and it was such a welcome surprise. So that would be my answer.
Yeah. I know there's another couple bands that I listen to called, one's called Surl. I don't know how to pronounce
it. You mentioned that person before.
Yeah, Surl. And then I also listen to Janabi. I think there were some other ones, but Janabi. I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. This next one is from Brianna R. They ask, what's a sound / genre you wish you heard more in K-pop or in the Korean music industry in general? I know there are a few. I just wish more artists would do. Sound / genre. I would personally like to hear, You know what? I would love to hear more kind of like math rock type of stuff. I literally just discovered math rock, by the way.
Wait, what rock?
Math rock?
Like math?
Yeah, it's rock music you listen to specifically when you do equations. No, it's I don't know, it's a very specific type of rock. Like, and specifically Japanese math rock is what I discovered. It's like a very, very interesting type of rock music. And I would love to see more Japanese style math rock in K-pop. I would love to personally see more bands in general in Korea.
Like rock bands or
Yes.
okay.
Yeah, just like, yeah, just bands, you
Got
know?
it.
I know there's a ton of indie bands, but I would
Yeah.
love more rock bands in Korea. And I would love more female rock bands. There's like Japanese rock. I've been getting into Japanese rock a lot. And Japanese rock is so not gender exclusive. I feel like music in Japan is like so it's so experimental and broad. Like it's like even more beyond than K-pop. And I wish there were more women that did rock music in Korean music. And I think people are gonna suggest Rolling Quartz, which I did check it out, and
Yeah.
it's fine, but like it wasn't good enough for my standards. What about you, Quinn? What's a sound slash genre you heard more?
Not sure. I feel like the genres that I do listen to, like American music, I've heard kind of in Korean.
Yeah, like kind of like everything is being done in K-pop, right?
Yeah.
Almost everything is being done. Like I feel like that's kind of part of K-pop music is like they take stuff from all over the world and then kind of make it their own. Have you listened to CIX's Cinema?
Yeah, I have.
I'm so obsessed with that song. Like
Yeah.
I keep replaying it over and over and over again, and that's a song that actually sounds very American, I think. The instrumental, it sounds very much like American pop. So I think everything's kind of being done. So I don't know. All right. Next question from Giselle. Why is there such a big gap between BTS and the rest of the K-pop industry? Like the numbers BTS can pull physically and digitally is overall larger than the next top 10 K-pop groups combined. The numbers kind of boggled my mind. Maybe you can shed some light into this, or you can't, but it'd still be interesting to know your view in this. What do you think, so Quinn? I think it's just because they're literally the most famous band in the world.
Yeah.
Right. Right? Like people just like more because I mean, to bring business into music real quick, BTS, like it's not about their music. Whatever people may think, like even if you think BTS makes the greatest music in the world or they're the they make the most amazing music in the world, the music is not the reason why they sell more physically and digitally. I think it's because just overall, they're more famous. Like, and they got more famous because they made that push and the marketing and like kind of like the perfect storm of like them going viral and then them going global. And I think that's why. I think anything was on the table when BTS initially first made their American push, but I think it's because BTS made their American push, you know? Like, there are, you know, for lack of a better word, quote unquote, as Twitter stans call them, locals, right? There are locals that listen to BTS but don't listen to anything else from K-pop. You know what I mean? Same, like, for example, my girlfriend, you know, her dad's white, right? And he doesn't listen to K-pop, but he listens to BTS, you know? Like, because it's everywhere, you know, that's the power of like unfortunately of American capitalism. You show up on American TV, the locals see you, it could really boost your career. So I think
Yeah.
that's why. yeah
I don't know if I can add on to that. I think you said
yeah
most of it.
yeah KD's Reviews asks, do you wish there was more versatility in girl groups? I feel like it's rare that girl groups do or have different concepts while boy groups can explore more. Do you agree with that? Do you think girl groups are limited in concepts while boy groups get to experiment more?
Maybe a little bit. I think they are starting to explore more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. I wish there was a little more experiments in the girl group kind of in girl group releases.
Yeah, I think what it is I think in terms of it's a different scenario. So I actually think like it's pretty equal and even, but in a different way. So like right now, I think there is no more limit to girl group music. Back in the day, I think there was. I think girl groups were only allowed to do certain kind of music, or like that's how the producers kind of made their music, right?
Yeah.
Now I feel like you've got anywhere between a cutesy girl group. What's a cutesy girl group, Quinn?
Who is cutesy?
Yeah. What's a cutesy girl group?
Would Lovelies be one?
Sure. Okay, let's go Lovelies. You've got a very feminine, cute girl group like Lovelies, right? But then on the other hand, you've got a badass girl group like Everglow, right? So the groups are different, but the concept doesn't change. Like Everglow's title tracks, their concepts are all the same, right? And Lovelies, in large part, they're all the same. They just most recently last year had a comeback that was kind of like darker and sexier. But in large part, Lovelies' entire discography is like molded around a very specific, very pretty, beautiful, feminine sound, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. I think girl groups, like, they focus on one type of music. You know what I mean? Like, Everglow only makes this kind of a title track. Whereas boy groups, you know, like, Golden Child will go anywhere from dum-da-dee-dum to, like, a electronic dance song. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like men and boy groups are allowed to switch around between cute and badass in their title tracks a lot more than women are. Like women, if it's a cutesy girl group and then they do a badass concept, it doesn't perform as well, you know?
Yeah.
Or if a badass girl group does a cutesy concept, it doesn't perform as well, right? And so I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Hey, PD, do you think there is a marketing reason why companies keep including the number of members in the group in their name? Because it just makes it all the more awkward when a member leaves, like Day 6 or even Stray Kids, whose brand was about being 9. It's just kind of weird to me. How do you feel about that, Quinn? You've got Day 6, Got 7. You've got Stray Kids' District 9. You've got BTS's...
Is SF9? Also,
7, SF9, 9 members.
They have 9,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Or take a group like 17, which is even more awkward because they have 13 members.
But it's always been 13 since debut, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's even more confusing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, they're called 17? Do they
have 17 everyone members?
Everyone in the beginning always. But that was actually the initial concept for 17. Before they debuted, 4 members actually left. That's why they just instead of recasting, they just stuck with the initial 13 that was left. Like Samuel was one of the people that left.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Is that a marketing thing? Because I feel like it's just maybe easier to make a name with the number of members, right?
I suppose, but you could also have a name without the number, right?
That's true.
Like Lovelies,
yeah.
Stray Kids. Well, this person, it's not about the name having the number in it. This person brings up Stray Kids, whose brand was about being 9. Do you think there is a marketing reason why companies keep including the numbers of members? Well, I mean, that's just because that's how many there is?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, that just makes...
sense.
That
I
just
guess.
Makes sense. Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's like a human thing to do. For example, let's talk about something that's not K-pop then, right? For example, like let's say we're getting married, right? Mm-hmm. And you're at the altar, and then the priest, whatever.
Yes,
they go like, so. Do you know? Does anybody have any objections on why these two should not be married? And then imagine if somebody in the in the pews went, yeah. Why are you specifying that it's two people? It's gonna be awkward if they get a divorce. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Nobody plan. Like, first of all, I think like just identifying something by head count is a normal thing people do, right? Like, I think like if you're in a situation somewhere, they're like, oh, there's five of us, or like, mm-hmm. oh, there's three of us, or like I feel like that's just a normal thing.
Yeah.
And then, the other thing is, I think it'd be more fucked up if they even considered their members leaving.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Like who would have known Woojin was gonna mess up?
Yeah. Exactly. Or like, you know, if the company, they're like, hey, we shouldn't call them day six because what if one of the member leaves? You know, like if I was in the company at the time, I would be like, well, why the fuck do you think someone's gonna leave? You know what I mean? It's like. It obviously, like, mistakes happen, or like people do bad things, like in Woojin's case, right? But like, then that what you're assuming automatically that your members, that the kids working under you, that they're bad people, right? Like, it's almost kind of more fucked up to assume that someone's gonna leave, that someone's gonna fuck up and, you know, create a scandal.
Yeah.
So I think that's why. This next question is from Victor. Is Victon at their peak? Do you believe that Victon will get even bigger with their rising popularity over the last year? Example, A Pink level of success. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what A Pink's level of success is, given the fact that they only have one comeback a year. I know that A Pink does well when they do have a comeback. That wasn't a dig at A Pink, by the way. I'm just saying, like, I don't follow A Pink's career. I don't follow their numbers. Yeah. I don't know like what their level of success is considered. I think Victon will get bigger.
Yeah.
I think Victon will get bigger. I don't know personally if they'll ever reach like S class or A tier. You know, those are like, that's all luck. So I don't know. Let's see. This is from Claustro. Thoughts on what the future of K-pop might sound like in terms of genre and style, maybe even fashion. I wonder what the fifth and sixth gen groups will offer.
Well, that kind of goes back to earlier. We were talking about genres, right? I feel like they're already experimenting with all sorts of genres.
Well, I guess the question is kind of like, I guess, what's the next trend? You know, it says thoughts on what the future of K-pop might sound like in terms of genre and style. So I guess like, what's the next big thing? Because I feel like we're going through a big retro or 80s inspired era, and also like an early 2000s type of inspired era. But what's next? What do you think is next in K-pop?
I don't even, like, I know what retro sounds like, but I'm trying to remember, like, the old, like, 2000, that's not even old, the 2000s music, or, like, even 2010s. Like, what came out in 2010 that was trendy?
Yeah, I don't know how K-pop's gonna change, honestly. K-pop... And in a way, it hasn't ever really changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the main groups, I feel like, in the mainstream are like kind of like artificial groups, you know, like created and molded to be a certain way. And it's still the same. I feel like the only thing that's changed within the past few years is like we have gotten more groups that are less artificial and make their own music, you know, and they have like a very specific style, like Stray Kids or ATEEZ, you know. I think the future of K-pop might be, I don't know. I guess
That's a hard question.
Yeah, that's a hard question. That's like, if I that's knew like the answer, I'd be rich.
Yeah, telling the future. Yeah. Predicting the future.
It is like asking to predict the future. Let's see. Oh, this is something I read about recently. I mentioned this. It was announced that one team would be disbanding after only 2 years as a group. Many idol groups debut each year, and the industry is getting more competitive and ambitious each year. What are your thoughts on what can guarantee the longevity of a group and how a rookie group can could break the market? You can't. I don't think you can guarantee the longevity of a group at all. Yeah. That's impossible.
Well, maybe the company they're from would help. I would not sure. just saying like not just debuting from the big three, but just like a company that knows how to promote.
Well, it's not even just knowing how to promote. Like, how else? Like, what do you want people? What do you want people to do? Like, for example, like take one team for example, mm-hmm. right? You didn't really follow one team, right?
Not
or listen
much,
to
yeah.
one team, right? What could that company have done better in terms of promoting, quote unquote, promoting them better to make you listen to them? Nothing, right? Like,
yeah. They
put out a music video and that's about all they can do, you know? And then it's fingers crossed, I hope people watch it. That's it. You know? Ultimately, K-pop music, it comes down to word of mouth, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's about people sending it to their friends, people sending it to other people. That's how like K-pop music spreads, you know? It's like, oh, you got to check this group out. You got to check this song out, you know? Like how else could you possibly, for example, if you don't listen to one team, let's say you don't even know they debuted, how are you going to, especially when there are hundreds of K-pop groups out there, right? How are you possibly going to stumble onto one team yourself, right?
Yeah.
Unless somebody forces you to watch it. Right.
Well, I think that's what like a lot of like how you release your videos too. Sometimes I discover people when I tweet out your videos. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they made a comeback
exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
Then I'll watch it.
That and that's also something I think the K-pop industry is also starting to notice is that hey, reactors actually play a big fucking deal in groups getting exposed. They really do because again. There is not much a company can do. Like, it is the most base kind of amateur thing I see people complain about. And this isn't an insult to you, sake of Blake. I'm just saying, like, overall, a common thing I see from K-pop fans, you know, playing armchair producer is like, this company doesn't know how to promote their group. It's like, okay, how would you promote this group? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's a difference between like, you know, JYP purposely not promoting GOT7, right? That's a different story, right? But if a group is failing and they're not getting popular, even if their music is good, even if the members are charming and funny, but if they're just not getting popular and, you know, like, let's say, you know, they film a music video. The music video is good. The song is good. They put them on variety shows. They put them on Dingo Music. They put them on Studio Choom. They put them on all this other stuff, right? And the group still doesn't take off.
Mm.
That's not the company's fault. Like,
yeah, they're
it's
doing
just,
the best they can.
It's capitalism, right? It's capitalism. Like they're doing the best they can, and like they put the advertising out there, and unfortunately, it's not the company's fault, and it's not you as a listener. It's not your fault that you didn't check these people out. It's the fact that there's too much entertainment in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much, and it's hard to wade through that. And, you know, people are naturally creatures of habit, so people are not always looking for new groups either, you know?
Yeah.
That's you know, kind of what I do as well. It's like I go out of my way to look for new artists all the time. Because I want to always be expanding my palette.
Yeah.
And like that's I think what K-pop companies are starting to take notice. Like I won't mention any names, but I had a CEO email me literally yesterday. And they are the CEO of a company that manages a very small boy group. And I checked out their debut some time ago and I really liked it, right? Mm-hmm. And they emailed me. They were like, hey, you know, our group just had a comeback. We saw your reaction to their first video and we really liked it because you were very insightful, blah, 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 blah. All of that. And then they were like, we were hoping you could check out, you know, their latest release as well. We look forward to whatever, right? A lot of companies do this. A lot of companies reach out. They're like, hey, Cherry Bullet's having a comeback. Can you do a reaction? Blah, 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 blah. That's great and all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're also going about it the wrong way. Something I actually have been pitching is I think companies should actually start sponsoring channels. First of all, K-pop companies don't know that reactors don't make money off these videos. They don't know that, right? I on occasion, if I have worked with the label and I ask them to whitelist a video, which means to not copyright block it so that I can monetize it, they're like, what's whitelisting? They're like what does that mean? You know, they're like, what copyright, you know, like Korean companies are not aware of that because most likely they don't handle this shit. It's usually done by like KakaoM or something. Right. Mm-hmm. And because they have like because they have subcontractors and these distributors, they also can't do anything about it. Yeah. So like, for example, like, let's say they want me to do a reaction for, Cherry Bullet, because I guess I already brought them up, but then I'll be like, okay, sure, can you whitelist this video? I did not have this conversation with FNC. This is an example. And they're like, okay, yeah, sure, what's whitelisting? And then you tell them what whitelisting is. They're like, okay, we'll look into it. And then they'll look into it and they'll be like, well, KakaoM is the distributor and we don't handle that, so we can't whitelist it. You know, and then that's just it. That's the end of the conversation, right? And so I feel like it'd be really cool if, I don't know. For example, let me give a different example as well. BRIS. I think BRIS is probably the most famous ARMY representative, right? It would be really cool if a company like Big Hit, or I guess they're changing their name now to HYBE, if a company like them made BRIS like a BTS ambassador. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know what that would mean. You know, maybe they, first of all, I think absolutely they should pay him. And then two, they like, you know, send him a swag, send him merch and be like, hey, can you like pose with these merch on your Instagram or like promote it on your YouTube channel? You know, so it's like an overall deal rather than like a one video type of thing.
That'd probably be more beneficial for like the smaller group. I know you were just saying BTS exactly. For example.
That's the only example.
BTS is like really big.
Middle tier or small groups.
From that.
Absolutely. And they spend tens and thousands of dollars on marketing. Trust me, guys. They are not. This is like a drop in the bucket, you know, like paying like, I don't know, let's say BRIS, like he has a contract of like, I don't know, pay him like, I don't know, like a couple hundred bucks a post, you know, or like an overall deal of like being paid once a month or something like that. I feel like K-pop companies, they just come to us, they email us, they're like, hey, can you react to this? I don't even bother replying anymore just because like I get like these flood of requests. And it's like, I feel like I should be getting something out of this, but you know, they don't come through with like artist interviews. They don't come through with payment. They don't come through with anything. You know, they just want you to promote their artist, but we get absolutely nothing out of it. You know, like we can't even monetize these videos. And even if we monetize the video, we'd make like a dollar, you know, like we'd make like $5. Like it's not even like a lot that we're asking for. You know, I think that's one way that they could break into a market. Actually, a company tried to do that with me, with Ghost9. They they contacted me months before their debut, and they wanted to actually organize like a whole campaign, you know, and they wanted me to like be a part of that and like help introduce the members and all of that. And then they just like stopped emailing me at one point.
Oh, you know, they ghosted you.
Yeah, they ghosted me. And then like a week before the music video comes out, or like, no, even like a day before the music video comes out, someone else from the company comes to me and they're like, hey, can you check out this music video? I'm like, what the fuck? I was talking with like, you know, like your higher up, and then your higher up completely ghosted me. And then now they're just like, hey, can you react to this? It's like, I don't know. It's like, and that's the case with a lot of like, just it's business in general. People fucking ghost you in business emails all the time. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question. This is from Nia. We're getting pretty long, so we'll end it right here with this last question. Oh, fuck, it's a heavy one. I'm really curious about your take on all the various bullying scandals that are emerging right now. Mingyu, the actor, Jisoo, Hyunjin, etc. How much do you think we should trust companies and their artists? And on the other hand, how much should we trust the people that came out and exposed these idols? Is how companies handle these situations the right way?
Ooh.
Mm. Well, I made a video talking about the bullying issue in Korea and why it's so severe. People still don't fucking get it. You know, I saw some comments on my video explaining that. I saw one person, like, I'm literally flabbergasted that this person watches my videos. Because they said something along the lines of, I personally believe that if you were weak enough to be bullied, you deserve to be bullied.
Oh,
and
no one deserves to be bullied.
And then they were like, and you're coming and you're coming back after all these years and ruining this person's career. It makes me like, no wonder you were bullied. It makes me want to bully you. I wish I could like bully you right now. I'm like, what the fuck? This person's psychotic, first of all.
No, that's messed up.
Yeah, like, what kind of a comment is that? And then second, so it's a very serious issue in Korea. But my take is actually, like, I know, like, with that video, it makes it sound like I believe all the accusers or I'm being very supportive. That's actually not the case. I know how to look at a situation unbiasedly, mm-hmm. and kind of like, you know, like view it from a cultural standpoint and analyze the situation. And so I was just trying to make people understand why people are freaking out, because in America, people don't freak out on a national level about bullying. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to get that across. But on a personal level, I personally believe that this is ridiculous, what's happening. Mind you, I understand that the situation in Korea is also ridiculous because they've been gaslit for so many years. But my feeling is, what do you get out of this by doing this? Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying this because I'm trying to save your soul. Why are you doing this? This isn't going to make anything better. This isn't going to change anything, and it's not going to make you happier, you know? And it's not going to heal any wounds that they ever did to you, you know? You know, like,
but
for
it
me...
could, like, maybe they wanted an apology, which could put them at peace, but I'm sure it wouldn't heal, like, right away.
Yeah,
like, it'll still
sure,
take a while.
I mean, if they want an apology, that's...
Yeah.
Well, if that's, I guess... one thing, but also like, I don't know. It's also weird to just. I don't know. Like, think about it. Think, Quinn. I want you to think back to somebody you have not seen since you were maybe 11 years old, 12 years old. Okay, think about someone you have not seen since then, and think about only thinking about them for the next 10 years. And then wanting to try to find them because they slighted you once when you were 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you want an apology from them. Even if you want an apology and you deserve one, that's still that's still kind of like a really unhealthy grudge and
yeah,
trauma to hold on to. And here's also another thing. I don't want to belittle anyone's trauma, because the stuff that's coming out about the actor Jisoo are some fucked up shit.
Oh, and he's admitted. I actually don't know what he did. I just know he got kicked off of the drama he was doing.
Oh yeah, he got kicked off the drama because I think he also did admit that he did those things.
Yeah.
He's denying some things and he's admitting to some things. I think he okay, to give you a level of like fucked up, one of the things that he was accused of doing was he you know, obviously there's the violent stuff, which is like, you know hitting people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was also accused of like making the other boys masturbate in front of him.
Oh.
And then he would record it.
And then blackmail or what?
I don't know about blackmail, but record it. And so, like, I think he might have denied that, but it's like, ooh, that's, I don't know. Like, it's really hard to, like, when you admit to being a bully, right? Mm-hmm. And then all these other, like, it's then it's hard to believe him, right? And his defense. But what was I saying? What was I going on about? Right. So like, yeah. So something like that. That's obviously very traumatic.
Yes.
Right. And will follow you for years, for decades. And if you want to bring him down, I totally get that. I'm talking about situations where like that person and I had a disagreement once.
Yeah.
That's not a reason to one, end somebody's career, and two, for you to be holding a grudge that long.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for, and here's why I also definitely do not believe all the accusers. I think this is far enough away because that I can talk about this. This was a long, long time ago, but something came out about a male idol, right? A female idol, not a female idol, a female person was accusing this male idol of something,
mm-hmm.
right? But personally, like behind the scenes, I knew for a fact that this idol is gay. And I'm like, oh, she's lying. And then it came out later, she dropped everything and then she admitted that she was lying, right? But then the company had to fight for it, right? They had to come to the defense of the male idol, come with all this proof. But I knew from the get-go, I'm like, oh fuck, she's lying, right? Because like I knew beforehand through, you know, the people that I know, that I knew this person was already gay, right?
Gotcha.
So I'm like, oh, this definitely did not happen. So that's why like I find it hard to believe some of this stuff. And even if it did happen, I truly believe some of this stuff happened. For example, Hyunjin has not denied anything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hyunjin from Stray Kids, by the way, to clarify. He has not denied anything. But I look at the accounts that's specifically brought up about what Hyunjin did, right? And to me, it doesn't sound like Hyunjin was a bully. It sounded like he just did not like this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just sounded like he was just an asshole. You know? And, hey, guess what? Kids are assholes. Like, kids are assholes. Like, I was such an asshole when I was in school. I'm sure you weren't an asshole. You're like, I bet you were like an angel. But I was an asshole. I was for sure an asshole. And I definitely was mean to, I was definitely mean to certain people. And certain
people were mean to me. Kids are just immature too, you know?
Yeah. It's also immaturity.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, you just don't like somebody, mm-hmm. you know? And maybe there's a good reason behind it. And sometimes there's no good reason behind
it. You
just
don't like them. You just don't click well with them.
Right, exactly. It's like how I personally don't know James Charles. And mm-hmm. I've never really seen any of his content. But I kind of just don't like the guy. And if I met the guy, I would be very rude to him, you know? I kind of just don't like James Charles, you know? It's that same kind of way where, like, when you're young, you kind of just don't like some people, you know?
Yeah.
And they rub you the wrong way. And it sounds like Hyunjin was just an asshole. But, like, I don't hold that against him because, at the same time, hey, he's a grown up now, you know, and I'm sure he, you know, well, he, you know, he says he's past it and he is grown up. He has evolved. And that's how maturity works. You know, I think that's something that is not being brought up here a little bit. I think on the American side, it's being brought up, but on the Korean side, it's not, which is that I think some Koreans do need to, they are not handling this well. Like that interaction with Hyunjin, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not handling that well, but also Korea lives in a society where they kind of perpetuate and gaslight you into doing that, you know? But I don't know. The way I feel about it is basically, I believe some of it, you know? And I don't believe some others. Like, I think, you know, and it's down to your personal preference. There was this thing that came out with the actor Cho Byung-gyu, who he was being accused of stuff. And then he wrote this letter on Instagram. And I read his letter. And, you know, all the comments, like, everyone kind of agreed, like, oh, this motherfucker did not do it, you know? Yeah. Like there are some people who it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, he brings up a good point. Like, he, in his letter, and I don't know if Cho Byung-gyu is innocent or guilty or not, truly, right? I'm just siding with what evidence has been presented to me. But he's basically, you know, he basically says, how do I prove something that didn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and that's like, how do I prove something that didn't happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do I prove something that didn't happen 12 years ago? Like, that's even worse. Like, it's hard enough to prove something that didn't happen recently.
Yeah.
Right? But then it's even worse if it's 12 years ago.
Yeah, and 12, then they're just going to be like, oh, you're just denying it or whatever.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know. And I hate this. I hate this modern culture we live in now. We live in this weird culture where we used to live in a culture where nobody believed victims, right? Mm-hmm. That was how it was back in the day.
Yeah.
And then it became, oh, always believe the victims, right? Yeah. And then that makes sense. But then now we're in this weird place now where, oh, like, it's being proven that people lie about this shit all the time now, but we also should believe victims. So now I feel like everybody feels really torn. I feel like every K-pop fan right now is just like, we should believe victims, but also this sounds fishy as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about everything that's going on?
I only saw a couple of, like, those bullying accusations. I didn't, like, keep up with all of them, but I was just, like, the timeline of everything. Like, all of a sudden, so many people started coming up as, like, victims, and I'm like, why now? If you did know you were getting bullied before, could you have not said it, like, earlier? Like, I felt like everyone just, one person released the, like, exposed an idol, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of others came out.
Well, as I was, as I said in my video, you know, that I mean, that kind of argument of like, why didn't you say something when you were being bullied?
Well, I know back then it's harder, but I'm just saying, like, some people waited, what you said, 12 years, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are saying they were inspired by this whole volleyball. Because the volleyball players, they're national athletes and they got taken down, you know, people are inspired that, oh, if I speak up, maybe action will actually be taken, you know, finally. That's kind of the idea. But as you said, it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's too much. Like, for example, one came out. Apparently people were accusing Soyeon from Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Of being a bully, but then apparently Soyeon was homeschooled.
Oh,
I don't know how true that is, but people were saying that on my stream. And
Were they saying a classmate came out saying she bullied?
A quote unquote. Like, here's,
but I can
here's
say
also,
you could still bully someone else, like what, like a grocery store or something. But okay, but if it was a quote unquote classmate and she was homeschooled, then yeah, that makes no sense.
Well, I mean, here's also the thing. The people who are coming out and accusing of these people of bullies, none of them have revealed their identities. None of them have revealed their identities, and I think that's why it's even harder to believe them.
Yeah.
I understand wanting to protect your privacy, because K-pop, the world of K-pop can be pretty vicious.
Yep.
And even if, let's say, this idol did do it, if you revealed your identity, even if the idol was guilty, like, I mean, there are people still who's still support Seungri, you know? People will, like, dox her, you know, and, like, fucking send her death threats and stuff like that. And so I understand why they're hiding their identity, but also makes it harder to believe them.
Yeah, some people are using it to their advantage, too.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, for example, Chu from Luna, of all people, Chu from Luna was accused of being a bully, right? And then apparently after taking to the internet earlier this week to accuse the star of bullying her when they were in middle school, the person posted a handwritten apology on a popular online community Tuesday. They said, "All the claims I made were exaggerated. I was not on good terms with Chu in school. My memories have changed as time has passed. I'm deeply sorry to Chu, her agency, Blackberry Creative, and the other members and fans. Only after the claim drew so much attention, I finally realized how horrible my wrongdoing was, and I was afraid. It was all my fault." So that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, this person had a bad relationship with Chu, and it's also time that distorted her
memories.
Her memories. You know what I mean? It's like they could have just been on bad terms, but then, you know, like maybe, I don't know, maybe one time, let's say, Chu bumped into her, right? And she didn't say sorry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the moment, maybe she thought nothing of it, but then like she looks back 5 years and she views it in a very different way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She viewed it as like a moment where like, oh, she like hit me, and then like she didn't even bother saying sorry. You know what I mean? Like, little misunderstandings like that can get skewed depending on it. And then, you know, especially like, I don't want to claim this is the reason why, but like, hey, maybe someone you just didn't get along with and maybe you didn't like, then you see them become famous and you see them become talented. Jealousy might play a role in that. You know what I mean? Especially if it's someone you just didn't like, you know? So, I don't know. It's a tricky situation. That's how I feel about it. I think this is bullshit in the sense that, like, this situation is bullshit. Like, I hate that we're going through this situation. Like, I hate that it's so hard to believe accusers. But also at the same time, some of the stuff that that is real, I feel like you should not have said this. I don't want to play down anybody's trauma, right? But there are some situations, some instances, it's like, oh man, you made a way bigger mess than
should
needed.
Have been. Yeah.
Right. This should have, like, this could have been just like your own personal journey. Maybe like I don't know. I don't want to tell someone to like let go of their pain or their trauma. But it just, like, you know, I see some of this and I'm just like, was it worth it? Like, what did you get out of this? You know, was it worth it?
Yeah. It's so tricky. It's definitely a tricky situation.
But the problem is like, I feel like everyone always says, oh, it's tricky. But everyone says that about everything ever. Like politics, the coronavirus, the pandemic. We say that and then like nothing gets done. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a tricky situation. We'll have to talk about it more later. And then all you do is just talk about it and then nothing happens. So I don't know. I personally don't know what to do. But yeah. Very dark. Very
we
dark,
ended
kind
on
of somber. Yeah, very somber mood.
Not
to
super
end
dark.
On. I guess it's not just dark,
deeper,
but yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
But it's less of a downer when the podcast returns this Monday, guys. I know, like, we were mostly answering questions, so you didn't really get to know Quinn too much, but on the Monday podcast, we actually do talk more about Quinn and, like, what we've been going through and, like, that kind of stuff. So if you want to get to know more about Quinn, stay tuned for Monday's podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening to the Community Cast. We will be back next Friday. See you later. Bye.
Bye.